Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Galatians chapter 5 as we get into God's Word today, Galatians chapter 5. For the last several weeks, we've been in this series that we're calling Living Beyond, and this series has been all about how the Holy Spirit empowers us to live a life beyond our own ability. And so we've been using this section of Scripture called the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, I love the Word of God for a lot of different reasons. The Word of God shows us who God is. And as we've been looking at this list of qualities, the fruit of the Spirit, we've been seeing how God is the ultimate example of all of these things. The Word of God also shows us how to live a life that's pleasing to God. But another thing that the Word of God shows us is the Word of God is very practical, and the Word of God shows us how to have a life that's fulfilled and happy. Who here wants to have a happy life? Anybody? Yeah. And the Word of God is very practical, and so as we've looked at this passage from a lot of different angles, as we read this passage this morning, I want you to be thinking about this. Think about how much better our life would be if we were living these character qualities in our life. How much happier we would be, how better our marriages would be and our homes and our relationships and our churches would be if we were actually living this passage out in our lives, all right? So Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So think about how much better would my life be? How much more happy I would be and joyful if I was actually living these things out in my life? So this morning we're going to land on gentleness. Now I'm going to guess this morning that this area of gentleness is going to be kind of difficult to process for some people in the room this morning, in particular, the fellas. And I know that's a great overgeneralization, but I'm just guessing this whole area of gentleness is probably more of a challenge for us guys than for the ladies. Because maybe when you think about gentleness, this is what you have in mind. Or finally, and so there's just something about this idea of gentleness that feels maybe a little unmasculine, right? And so we feel as guys maybe we have a difficult time with this whole area of gentleness. And the reason we have a struggle with gentleness is that we've all been influenced by a picture of what it means to be a man. And it's a picture that really doesn't come from the Bible. So we've got this kind of macho manhood image that a real man is strong, ego-driven, somewhat unfeeling, emotionally guarded, competitive, brash, aggressive. Needless to say that this brand of macho manhood is not really what the Bible has in mind for us as followers of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, over the past 20 years or so, there's this reaction in our culture against manhood, and there's been a redefining and a rebranding of what it means to be a man. So traditional gender roles are being erased. Being a man is something we're supposed to be somewhat ashamed of. And it's created a great sense of gender confusion among our young people. So this isn't really what the Bible has in mind for men either. So I want to give you this morning a great man challenge. Here's the man challenge for Bethel Church: to reject macho manhood, but also to reject the cultural movement toward de-manhood and pursue the reclaiming of biblical manhood. Come on, you can do better than that. Let us pursue the reclaiming of biblical manhood, and a part of that pursuit in reclaiming biblical manhood is for us to understand this whole idea of gentleness and what the Word of God has to say to us about that. Now, the greatest example of biblical manhood in the Bible is Jesus himself. And here's how Jesus describes himself in Matthew chapter 11. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Watch this. Here's what Jesus says about himself: "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So I want to just highlight a couple of things. Leave that scripture up for just a moment. I want to highlight a couple of things. First of all, I want you to notice the connection that Jesus makes between gentleness and humility. I am gentle and humble in heart. When we understand that we all have shortcomings and failures, and we get a true picture of ourselves that we're not perfect, it helps us be more patient and gentle with other people. Amen? And I find it interesting, here's Jesus who didn't have any shortcomings, and yet he was humble. And that says to me, wow, if Jesus can be humble even though he has no shortcomings, then Tim really needs to be humble. Amen? Because I do have shortcomings. So there's this connection between humility and gentleness. The other thing I want you to notice here is the emphasis Jesus is making on how he is the one that brings rest to our souls. Now that plays into gentleness, because I know when my soul is not at rest, when I'm anxious, when things are unsettled in my spirit, and I got stuff going on here that's not really lined up with where God wants it, it's a challenge for me to be gentle to other people. So when I'm not at rest here, it spills over on the people around me. But when things are in order in here, and I'm taking those burdens, and I'm taking those anxious thoughts, and I'm taking those to the Lord, and I'm finding my rest in the Lord, then it gets a lot easier for me to be gentle to the people around me. Does that make sense? And so great things that Jesus says here about gentleness. When our own spirit is at rest, we have a greater capacity to treat others with gentleness. Now, let's talk a little bit about this idea of gentleness, what it is. And before we talk about what it is, I want to talk about what it is not, just briefly. First of all, gentleness is not weakness. Jesus was the strongest man that ever lived, spiritually, emotionally, incredible willpower. Jesus was the strongest man that ever lived and the most gentle man that ever lived. Gentleness is also not passivity. Being a gentle person doesn't mean you're expected to just lie down and be used as a doormat. Okay? It's not passivity. And gentleness is not a personality type. Now, you know, we all have different personalities. Some of us are extroverts. We're just kind of out there. And some of us are introverts. We're a little more withdrawn. But gentleness is not, it's not a personality type. You can be an extrovert and still be a gentle extrovert. Amen? On the other hand, I've known introverts that have been kind of passive-aggressive. Yeah, they're introverts, but they're not gentle, right? And so it's not a personality type. So don't say to yourself this morning, well, I'm just not a gentle person. That's just not how God made me, because this whole series is about the fact that we're living beyond our own ability and our own personality types, our own bents, right? Our own propensity to live, you know, in the flesh, that the Holy Spirit is the one that can bring that gentleness to our heart, no matter what our personality is, right? So we want to come under the rule and reign of the Spirit of God so that we develop gentleness in our lives. So let's talk about gentleness a little bit. And I want to just give you a few of the fruits of gentleness in our lives. What does gentleness look like when we start to live it out in our lives, all right? And this is going to show us, okay, this is a picture of what it means to be a gentle person. Number one, gentleness recognizes the great value of something or someone and seeks to protect them. So gentleness can be illustrated in a way, for example, that we would handle a crate of fragile crystal, right? We recognize, wow, there's something of value here. It's valuable, but it's also fragile. And so we handle with care. So being a gentle person, we recognize that the people that God has put in our lives, they're precious and they're valuable. In fact, that every human being, whether we're connected to them or not, is precious in the eyes of God. Remember that every person you meet is created by God, created in the image of God. Every person you meet is someone Jesus went to the cross for. So they're precious in God's sight. So handle with care. Amen? Handle with care. Gentleness also uses power and authority to elevate others, to lift others up. Look at what David wrote about the Lord and how the Lord had treated him. Psalm 18 and verse 35, your right hand supported me and your gentleness made me great. Wow. Because I would expect it to say your power made me great. But David recognized it was the gentleness of the Lord that gently raised him up. Another version says in that same verse, your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. So this is what the Lord has done for us. He's been gentle in our lives, and he has brought us up. He has raised us up. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, we gently want to elevate people, to raise other people up instead of falling for the cultural norm that says in order to elevate myself, I've got to push other people down. Since our personhood is found in Jesus Christ, not in the acceptance of this world, we have the ability to say, no, I know who I am in the Lord. And I don't need to live my life by comparison. So my role now can be to gently lift people up, to elevate the people around me, right? To pick people up. Gentleness uses power and authority to elevate others. Number three, gentleness has the ability to diffuse hostility and change the atmosphere. So true. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, tell a little story about myself here. A few weeks ago, Janice and I, we were up in the Seattle area, and It was a very busy time just after Christmas. And, This is President's Day weekend, I guess, is when we were there. President's Day weekend. And we were at one of the malls, and the mall was very busy, very busy. And it was raining out, and it was just one of those Seattle kind of days. And so we were in the far end of the parking lot from the mall because the parking lot was just jammed. I mean, there's people everywhere. There's cars everywhere. And so we get into the car. We're leaving the mall. I start to back out, and I checked everything behind me, nobody's behind me. And then I look back at one of our grandkids who was with us just for a second and then continued to go back. And I hit another car. And it was just kind of a slight bump. And I was, oh, man, you know how that feeling. I was just so bummed out. And then I got even more bummed out. By the time I even opened the door, this woman was out of her car yelling at me. And, I mean, she was using words. I don't even think I know what those words mean. But they did not sound like they were compliments. And she is just cursing me up and down. And I was just shocked. I thought, wow, I mean, I just bumped your car. Come on. And she's just losing it. And I get out, and I got to admit, I took not the Tim approach. I took the Jesus approach. And I just said, oh, I am so sorry. I said, I checked, and I thought I'd cleared. And then I looked at one of my grandkids, and, you know, and then I bumped into you, and I feel terrible. And that woman went instantly from yelling at me and cursing to, oh, yeah, this is just kind of a bummer. She said, I'm sorry for my language. And she looked at her car, and there was really nothing on her car. And she goes, you know, everything looks fine. Have a good day. And that was it. Now, can I guarantee it's always going to work out like that? No, but it did that time, and it's amazing. If we just respond to those kind of situations with the gentleness that the Holy Spirit can give us, how that can just kind of change the atmosphere. And husbands and wives, this works in marriage too. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. When we're starting to have one of those conflicts where there's sparks flying, right? You can either add water or you can add gasoline, right? And it works out so much better with the Lord's help to give a gentle answer. And then number four, gentleness encourages, restores, and heals. Gentleness encourages, restores, and heals. Gentleness refuses to criticize, gossip, pile on. Gentleness lovingly, gently restores. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person. How? Restore that person gently. Gently. And here's the humility thing again, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. So we restore. We bring healing. We bring life. When there's a brother or sister that's struggling, that's fallen in some way, and they've gotten off track. Man, we've got a decision to make right there. Am I going to be rigid and demanding and exacting and judgmental and harsh? Or am I going to be used by the Holy Spirit to speak life and encouragement and healing and restoration? Being a gentle person, being led by the Holy Spirit. And the key to this, guys, is to remember how kind and gentle the Lord has been with us. Right? How kind has God been to us? How gentle is the Holy Spirit with us, even when we've sinned? Even when we've blown it, the Holy Spirit is gentle with us in even bringing correction to us. The Lord gently rebukes. He gently corrects. Think about how gentle and kind. And so we become a reflection of the gentleness that the Lord has demonstrated to us. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20, Matthew quotes a passage from an Old Testament book. This is a prophecy written hundreds of years before Christ that would describe the Messiah, the coming Messiah. And it says about the coming Messiah, and what an apt picture, a precise picture of who Jesus is. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Well, what does that mean, a bruised reed? So you look at, most of us maybe don't have reeds growing in our backyard, but you have some kind of plant, and you can see that the stem is somewhat damaged, and it's not totally broken, but it's damaged. So you could make the choice of, oh, that thing's no good anymore, and snap it off. Or you could say, I think this thing can be saved. And maybe you put a stake in the ground and stake it up and make sure you give it lots of water, and you gently, as you would need to, you gently restore that thing instead of discarding it. The Bible says that's what Jesus does for us, because we're all bruised. Amen? We all come to the Lord damaged. And rather than cutting us off, the Lord gently restores us. The same thing, a smoldering wick, he will not snuff out. So a smoldering wick, you know what that looks like? It's this wick, it's starting to get a little oily or whatever, and it's starting to smoke, and it's just not burning quite right. You could just go up and just snuff it out and say, I'm tired of all this smoke. Or they would trim the wick and restore it. And so the Bible says this is what Jesus has done with us. He hasn't snuffed out the light. He has been patient with us and gracious to us. And then he does this till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. So how many of you are just thankful today for the Lord's gentleness in your life? Amen? Yeah, me too. The Lord has gently restored me and saved me. And he's always doing it. He's still gentle with me. And good to us. Amen? And so this idea of gentleness, it's a reflection of what the Lord has been to us. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to pray that this spirit of gentleness, the Holy Spirit of God, would fill our lives so that we would reflect the gentleness of Christ to the people around us, starting at home. Starting at home, and at church, at work, at school, may the gentleness of Jesus Christ be reflected in my life. Amen. And so I'm going to ask you all to stand with me this morning. We're going to pray together, and here's what I want to do. I want to pray especially for the fellas this morning, because I want to ask the Lord, as we're praying for gentleness, I want to ask the Lord to give us a restoration of biblical manhood. What does the Bible say being a man is? Not what does the world tell us what a man is. Let's stop allowing the world to define manhood, and let's let God define manhood. So I want to pray over all the fellas today. I'm going to ask you to just step out from where you are, all the guys, right up here in the front. Come on, calling you out. Mighty men of God, mighty men of Bethel. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Man, this is awesome. This is awesome. Filling right in here, guys. Some guys coming in behind you. This is fantastic. I can guarantee as we pray today, our wives are going to be praying that we become more gentle. They'll be praying for us. Ladies, you ask the Lord to help you, too, to have a gentle heart and a gentle spirit as well. I was thinking as we were going to be praying this morning, I was thinking about how when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, remember what happened? He came up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. And you remember how the Holy Spirit did that? As a dove, right? The Holy Spirit came down as a dove. Man, what a picture of gentleness. And came to rest on Jesus and anointed Jesus. And so I want to pray this morning for you, because the same Holy Spirit that descended on Jesus as a dove is right here this morning. Amen? It's the same Holy Spirit. He hasn't changed a bit in the last 2,000 years. And so I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would descend upon us this morning and impart gentleness to our hearts and to our spirits. Amen? So would you guys just lift your hands up to the Lord right now and you begin to pray for yourself. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, as a dove right now upon my life, upon my heart. Hallelujah. Lord, this morning I repent of my ungentle ways. I repent of my harsh words. I repent this morning of my cross attitude, my sharp words, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to so fill me and saturate me, Lord. God, that my life will not be defined by this world and its culture, but God, my life will be defined by you. My life will be defined by your word and your truth. My life will be defined by your spirit at work in me, oh God. Lord, that I would learn to be a masculine man that's bold and strong and courageous, but Lord, that I will also be a gentle man. Tempered by your Holy Spirit with a gentle heart and gentle words, God, that my life will elevate others and lift others up, God. Lord, that I would recognize the value in the people around me, how they are precious, Lord, and they're fragile, and that my actions and my words, God, make a difference. Lord, Holy Spirit, give me a spirit of gentleness, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We thank you. We give you praise. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord thanks this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.